Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Talk to you at the beginning right now about new normals. Because sometimes the normal we live in is not the normal we have to live in, but it's just the normal we know. And maybe while things are good, maybe things could be better. When I started dating Shana, things were good. I had her, she had me, we were happy, but Shan's wasn't totally happy. You see, Shan's had a better normal than when she was single, she had this. And you know, I know what you're thinking. Well done, Shana. But she also wanted a slight improvement. So she sent one of her friends to have a conversation with me. And it went like this. One of her best friends came up and said, "Josh, have you ever considered getting your hair cut?" I'm like, "Well, I want to get my hair cut." And she's like, "No. Well, like, you know, change is like a holiday. Why don't, if you just got maybe a different style, just be a new lease. I don't know. I just thought I'd bring it up. Have you ever thought about it?" Now, this was my hair when Shans and I first started dating. Basically got the blonde tips in and as much grease as I could, and I just stuck it down. Didn't matter what the weather conditions were, it was going to remain like that. I was in the process, I was growing, I was going for a surfy look. I reached later on, you'd see it glamorous. But anyway, this is where I was when we started dating. I'm like a fine wine. It just keeps getting better and better and better. But anyway, back to where we were. And I said, "Renee, why are you asking this?" She's like, "I don't know. I'm just thinking, what about a haircut?" And I said, "Did Shana send you to ask me for this?" And I didn't even finish the sentence. And she goes, "Yes, she hates your hair. Cut it." It was a better normal. She had something that was good, but she wanted something that was better. You know, I love milk. Is anyone here that just loves milk? I love drinking milk. I have milk in my coffees. You know, I have 1, 2, 4, 14 coffees a day. Whatever, it's a number. Don't judge me. But I haven't had a lot of coffee. And it's a milky coffee and it's strong coffee, but I want milk in it. I just don't want a black coffee. But while I like milk, milk doesn't like me. Anyone, a couple of people putting up hands and not even asking. Right now, if you see them go to the bathroom, we understand what's going on. The milk doesn't like me. In fact, I love milk so much, most days before bed, I'll go get some chocolate or some tiny teddies and pour myself a big glass of milk and I'll treat myself to say, "Well done, good day, Josh," on me. You know, since I could afford milk, you know, I got my own place, I could afford milk. I love having milk, but milk doesn't settle well with me. And while I've got this normal, Shans is like, "You could have a better normal. Why don't you try almond milk?" And she's been on me to try almond milk. And we've discussed this before. I don't drink it because I don't want my milk to taste like nuts. And it just doesn't make sense. And we have this discussion back and forth where she's like, "Drink almond milk." And I'm like, "It's not natural that milk would come from a peanut." And she's like, "Do you realize cow's milk was made for baby cows?" I started to think about this. You got to think really about the first person that tried milk. Have you ever thought about that? It either was a dare or a rhema word from God, because surely you're not trying that thing. You're not thinking, "Oh, there's a beverage." You know, there's no way. There's no way. And you're like, you know, from that angle, "I'm not going there." But there's a possibility of a better normal, but I just don't try it. People say, "Go to bed earlier." At the start of this year, I decided I was going to go to bed earlier every day to wake up better. Can I say, since I made that decision, I think I've gone to bed later than I ever planned, ever did before. People say, "Drink more water. You drink 2 liters of water a day, you have better life." And I hear all these better normals, and the truth is I don't live in them, but it's not that I couldn't live in them, it's just that I don't live in them now. And the reality is often a crisis or something that goes wrong or a big life interruption that forces me from one normal I know into a better normal. See, the Bible is not a storybook. While there's great stories there to inspire you, the Bible is an invitation for you to enter into a better normal that God has for your life. The Bible is here illustrating and showing and directing you and I into how we can experience all that God has for our life. And one of these things that I think the church has pulled back in for a while and needs to step back into again was something we were never meant to leave to the side, but it was something that we were meant to have, and that is miracles, that is breakthrough, that is signs, and that is wonders. Come on, church. I'll show you in a moment why I know you're tentative when I start to talk about this, because we start to think, what about the ones that didn't happen? What about why I didn't have breakthrough? But that doesn't mean we don't go for the better that God has in our life. In fact, Jesus actually said that miracles, signs, wonders, and healings would be evidence of those that follow him. You see, I think love was meant to be what connected us with other people. But I believe signs, wonders, and the supernatural was meant to be what differentiates us after that with other people. Yeah. That we were first meant to connect through love. You look at Jesus, he went to the cross as a sign of love. But then he said, go and make disciples and these signs will follow, because they had to differentiate themselves from every other person. Instead of living the normal life, we had extravagant love that connected us. But once they drew close to us, they would see there was something so radically different about us that they had to also have what we had. Jesus said, if you go to make disciples, wait until you receive power. Come on, wait till you receive power. Mark says it, verse chapter 16 says, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. You don't have to go and do that, but it's making a point, unless you live in Darwin, it's probably necessary. And they drink deadly poison, which is Chibos, and it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. God's plan was that if you were following, who's a follower of Jesus here today? If you believe in Jesus and follow I reckon there's a couple, we can interact with it. Who's a follower? Lift your hands. You're a follower of Jesus today. You believe in Jesus today, disciple of Jesus today. It was expected the norm would be in your life that the supernatural would exist, healings would occur, God would move in signs and wonders, and that was God's plan for our life. But I think the church has gotten very comfortable with the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is great. Come on, say it with me. It's got, the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But while we are comfortable with the fruit of the Spirit, not many desire or chase after the gifts of the Spirit. And we love the fruit of the Spirit, but we're also meant to have the gifts of the Spirit, seen in 1 Corinthians. That talks about supernatural wisdom and knowledge and faith and the gift of healing, the ability to do miracles and prophesy and speak in tongues and interpret and distinguish between spirits. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of following Jesus, and it is developed in us. But the gifts of the Spirit is the power of Jesus that has to be asked for and received. And I think God's plan is that the church would operate more in the gifts of the Spirit than it currently is. But we don't, because of what I'm going to talk about today. Today I'm going to just begin what could be a number of weeks of talking about this. Everyone doing well tonight, today, wherever we are? Amen. Well, who do you two? I want to talk to you today about healing. And we don't talk about it often, because the truth is everyone's got their own doctrine on it. From experience, we all justify what our beliefs are on it. That but a lot of us doubt and excuse when it comes to the area of healing, because if we were to be totally honest, this one's pretty close to home, because there probably isn't many people in this room that haven't prayed for someone to be healed and haven't seen their healing yet. Or haven't believed that a breakthrough could happen in our life or in a loved one's life. And even for some of us have lost loved ones that we believed and we thought we had a word from God they were going to get healed. So often we keep away from this. But I feel like God said to speak into this today, because our responsibility is to walk in the promise of God and that we would see healings in Jesus' name. And I'm going to preach this today at the risk that it's going to leave questions in you, because it will. This is actually not going to be conclusive, because it can't be, because I don't have all the answers. And I think it's okay, because if we have complete understanding, maybe actually it doesn't require faith. See, faith is saying that I actually don't have all of the understanding and I don't get it all, but it's okay, God, because I trust you. So while this won't have all the answers today, I understand that. And that is one of the great reasons why you'd be in a connect group, because you can get around people that are like-minded and are wrestling with the same things. And it's not that you have to get to the final conclusion, but you can each walk away maybe with a little bit more understanding, but each saying, I don't get it, but I'll stand with you in faith too. So today, if this moves us to faith, but there still is gaps, I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? I'm going ahead anyway. See, I don't know all the answers as to why people don't get healed. I don't know why there's people I've prayed for that they're now with the Lord, but they're not with us, and I thought they'd get a miracle. There's things I've believed and I haven't seen. But my responsibility here today is not to explain to you why what hasn't happened and why it hasn't happened. My responsibility as a preacher is to preach the Word of God and to tell you what is possible. Because there's often people that live in two camps. There's some that live out here somewhere, and they're floating. If we're looking at the edge of the stage, they're glab and grab. And if I just say it, that's it, I'm healed right now, even if physically they're not healed. But the majority of us, we actually live back here somewhere. I mean, if that's the edge of the stage, and that's the edge of faith, and that's there walking into the supernatural, the impossible, the reality is I've tried it, I've been there, I've bought the book, I've prayed the prayer, but it hasn't happened for me, and I kind of live back here a little bit. I mean, I follow Jesus, I'm living an elevated life, I'm here, I'm not where I was, and I know I love God, and look at the fruit of the Spirit in my life, I'm good, but we stay in this safe place, and it's been quite a while since we've seen the miracle working power of God outwork in my life and through my life. I've seen small signs and wonders, but I haven't seen things that I've been able to grab a hold of and display and use as evidence that the Spirit and the power of God is alive and living in me. So what this does is this space living back here, not where we were meant to live, but in a safe space, leads me to think maybe there's something wrong with me. Because maybe I've stood out on the edge before and I've stepped out in faith and prayed for someone that never got their healing or got their breakthrough. And because it didn't happen, I start to wonder, what was wrong with my prayers? Or what was wrong with my life? Or what's wrong with God? And that leads me then to a feeling of what's wrong with me. And it's never the feeling or the decision we were meant to get to, but it leaves me living back here without power. And sadly, I think today the church lives too much back here without power. You know, my dad was a police officer for 30 plus years. So I was at my brother's house yesterday, and he's just bought a motorbike for himself, and he bought a little motorbike for his son. Now, my dad as a police officer had all my life said, Josh, you are never, ever, 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 ever to ride a motorbike. So in my life, I'm nearly 38. I've never, ever, ever ridden a motorbike. But I saw a little four-year-old's motorbike yesterday, and I thought, here's my time. Here we go. Dad's not looking. Let's get on the motorbike. And here's what happened. Doing all right, doing all right. Not doing so good, not doing so good. I'm off. I finally tried something and did something I'd never experienced before, and it didn't go so well. So in the fear of that it could happen again, this is where I ended up just after this.
That's more like it.
Okay. Funny example, but literally happened yesterday. But I think that's the picture of the average Christian. Is that we try something we haven't tried before and we fall over or it didn't work or it didn't go to plan. So we end up still on the bike, but we're on something much more safe and something that's in control. But the reality is that bike I went to after that, while I couldn't hurt myself there, it had no power. God's plan is not that you would give up on the power that He has for your life. It may not have gone the way you thought it would go, but I want to encourage you today, whether for the first time in your life or getting back on the bike, God's plan is that there would be more supernatural power evident in your life and through your life, including in the area of healing. All my life I've had these twitches. I talk about them to show I'm just normal, but it's embarrassing and I hate it. My body moves and does things I don't want it to do, and I blink all the time, and I shake, and I touch my glasses, and because I sweat so much, you've noticed, you've judged, you know, and I swear, and I'm constantly doing this, and if I ever give you the finger, I'm not meaning to, I'm just putting up my glasses, I was to you, Seth, but everyone else is just putting up the glasses, and now even when I'm at home, I do this, and my kids are doing this to everyone, and these twitches are embarrassing, I don't want to do it, and all my life I've prayed, God, would you heal me, and he hasn't yet. But just because I don't understand why he doesn't heal me yet doesn't mean I'm going to shut the door. And every time I get to this place of frustration, my conviction is my healing is coming and I'm going to keep on praying. Because when I can't understand what he does and how he does it, my responsibility is to understand who he is. And I keep looking to what the word says, and not to what my circumstances say, because my circumstances are going to push me here to this safe place that becomes a normal, and it's a better normal than not knowing God, but it's not the normal God had for my life, which was to understand and look to what the word says, that says I can stand here on the edge of faith, on the edge of our toes. My responsibility is not to take you off the stage or off the cliff or out there today, but it's to move you one step by one step to get to this place where you can lean in to the miraculous of God, even if you haven't seen it yet, knowing that he is good. How do you move forward when you don't see your fruit? You move forward knowing he is good. Everyone say, he is good. And he'll turn all things to good. I haven't seen healing yet. Maybe you're wondering that today, and I don't know why. But when the next opportunity comes, you've got to keep on praying. You got to keep on standing on faith and let him be God. Some of you need to hear this today. He is not God because he does what you ask him to do. He is God because he is God. And because he is God, he does not have to do it how I ask him to do it. But he does promise, and we can hold on to the fact, because he is God, he will do exceedingly abundantly above anything I could ask, think, or imagine. But he won't do it the way I think all the time, because his ways are above my ways and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Why do I try and make God do things the way I do and then pull back with disappointment when God doesn't prove himself to me? My ways and my thoughts, instead of to stand in faith on his goodness and on the word. Stop trying to make God prove himself to you and trust him. But it's not trusting him back here where it's safe. It's trusting him right here in this edge of faith. That's not God, prove yourself to me. It's God, I trust you because you're God. I think sometimes our doubt is not in what God can do. Our doubt comes because we cannot cope with being disappointed again. And if God doesn't come through, that'll lead to disappointment, and I can't cope with that again. And that causes us to retreat and have control of something that I was never meant to have control of. So we try to control God. And that's not really trusting God. See, I don't have to know the why. I just have to know who he is. And I'll tell you today, he is good and he is healer. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if I have to go through the fire, even then I will not bow. So today, I want to teach you who I know God to be and what the Bible says he is. And that is, I believe God heals equally both the soul and the body. I'll say it again. God both heals equally the soul and the body. If you are convinced that he has saved you and rescued you from that life without God, you can be as convinced that God has rescued you from your sickness. He has the same view to sickness as he does to sin, and the same power to deal with both, which is what we remember at communion. Peter writes about it in 1 Peter. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so we might die to our sins and live for righteousness, healing of the soul. But he continues, by his wounds or by his stripes, say it with me, you've been healed. Healing of the body. In Isaiah, he prophesies, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins, soul, but he was beaten so we could be whole. Say it with me, and he was whipped so we could be healed. both sin and sickness came into the world at the fall, and both sin and sickness was dealt with what Christ did on the cross. The first Adam came and started a drift downstream that would ultimately lead to death, but a second Adam came and hung on a cross so that he could supernaturally lift me out of the drift to death and move me to life and life to the full. And if I can believe it for my soul, I can also believe it for my body. You see, his name is Jehovah Rapha, which is God my healer. He is I am, not I was. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And too many of us are justifying that he did heal, but he doesn't heal the same way today. But we agree he's Jehovah Nisi, my victorious banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Well, if he's changed his mind on being your healer, he's got to change his mind on being your peace. But if he is still your peace, and if he's still your victory, and if he's still your provider, he's still your healer today. That's who he is. But we forget, and the Bible knew we'd forget, which is why it says in Psalm 103, come on, it says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins, read it with me, and heals all your diseases. Maybe the church hasn't forgotten. Maybe the church is just ignoring. Because it's easy back here and it's safe back here. But here's the problem. What walks with fathers runs with children. And if we ignore the power to see healings and breakthrough, our next generation will forget. You might say, I haven't forgotten, I just haven't seen. But if you haven't seen in a long time, maybe we're ignoring. I'm just talking about me. Maybe we're staying where it's safe, but maybe it's time to step towards the edge again. So a generation that wants to run past us will not forget, but will see more miracles than we've ever seen in our lifetime. So can that happen today is the next question. And can it happen for me is probably what you're asking. Well, the answer actually comes from Donna Hay, from Nigella Lawson, and Jamie Oliver. See, all of these people are brilliant chefs, and we all know them because of their creations and the wonderful things that they can make. And we look at them and we say, oh, I'm not a chef like them. There's no way I could do what they do. I mean, I make a mean spag bog, poached eggs on smashed avo. We're so Aussie, aren't we? Poached eggs on smashed avo. I make a good hearty winter soup. And I can barbecue a little bit. I'm actually teaching JP right now. He'll get there one day. You'll get there, Matt. But I would not say I'm a chef. And I would look at some of the cakes and magnificent things that they make. And I would say, I can't do what they do. But these brilliant chefs that we look at and idolize and say, you know what? I can't do what they do. They took all of the ingredients of what they made, and they took all of the methods and how they stirred it up, and they took the process and how to cook it, and they put it in cookbooks. They put it in cookbooks because they didn't want them just to live this life of having what they had and no one else could achieve it, but they put it in unholy writ so that you could take it and you could move from a bland life of eating just ordinary and step towards something with more flavor. I mean, this is exactly what God has done with the Word. Is the Bible says that He has given us all ability, that all ability, let me say it this way, all recipes have been given over to you. You get to know what God says is available for your life, and instead of putting it in those cookbooks, He put it in this cookbook so that you can get back in the kitchen and start getting flavor and life and power into you and your family again. Here, they create a picture, a desire. You kind of taste it before you taste it. The methods and the ingredients. And God does the same. He's given us the Word that paints a picture, that gives the ingredients and the method and the how so that you can live a supernatural life and you can see healings in your life too. Come on, do you believe it this morning? That's what I believe. What are the ingredients? Because you never start with the cooking and you never start with the stirring. You start with the ingredients, don't you? So what is the ingredients? The ingredients is the Word of God. And that's the biggest thing I want to lead you with today. The ingredients is the Word of God. And if we don't have the Word of God, I don't believe we have the ingredients to see the miracles that God has for our life. I believe the stirring of it up and what brings it all together is prayer. And I believe what allows it to rise and what adds heat is when you get in an environment like this filled with faith and church is really cooking. And you start to get around ones and twos and even mores. And you start to go, you know what? There's something here that allows my faith to rise, the Word of God to come alive, my prayers to be actualized. And all of a sudden, we have something we didn't have before. How does it start? It starts with the ingredients. And the ingredients for a miracle, the ingredients for healing is the Word. It says, put it on the screen, in Proverbs 4. My child, pay attention to what I say. Say it with me. Listen carefully to my... Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them, say with me, and healing to their whole body. We're going to pray for people at the end of the service, and I believe in that. But I believe in our fast food mentality of the miraculous. It's easier to ask someone to pray for me than it is to get the ingredients in my life. It's easy to say, I want the faith and the ingredients that someone else has grown, developed, watered, and produced in their life. I would rather it's easier to have someone pray before I get the Word into me. And I believe in prayer, and I believe the Bible shows us you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you would never stir inside the bowl before the ingredients go in the bowl. And I believe if you want the you want to see miracles, there's a methodology that you need to follow. I mean, I don't look at a Donna Hay recipe, I just don't look at them in general, I guess, but I wouldn't look at a Donna Hay recipe and go, no, I know better. We're going to go about it this way. I'm not the chef, but I'm trying to take a step forward. It's the same with the Word of God. If you don't have this deep inside your soul, not just an awareness of the ingredients, but the ingredients there in the pantry of your life, your soul and your spirit, you can't see the miracles that God has for you. Do you notice what it says? Put it back on the screen, that last one in Proverbs. It says, for those who find them. Those who find them. It implies it's not easy to get this Word into your spirit in such a way that it can produce something that wasn't there before. But it says, if you're going to do it, it says, don't let it depart from your eyes. Don't let it go away from there. Keep it in front of your sight at all times. Not just when I hit rock bottom. Not just when I'm at the front, not just when I've got no options left, but it says, don't let the Word of God, the ingredients for a supernatural life, depart from your eyes and let it penetrate deep into your heart. You see, when you get those ingredients, they don't sit on top of the mixture, but they get right in deep there, and it takes the beating and the whisking of life to get it deep in there. Maybe God hasn't brought this thing into your life, but maybe the beating and the whisking of life is the very thing that's going to get the Word of God deep on the inside of your soul. That's not just going to see a miracle in this season of your life, but it's going to see miracles outworked all through your life. But here's the question. Are we willing to grow the Word? Are we willing to develop the Word? Because the Word is like a seed. And no farmer would ever expect a crop without a seed being deep in the ground first. You'll never have fruit if first you don't get the seed of that fruit and plant it deep in the ground. Am I willing to grow, water, and nurture the Word in my life in such a way that it bears the fruit of the supernatural and the miraculous in me? And if I can, sometimes this seems too hard. Sometimes this takes too long. And sometimes it feels a little too difficult when I just want my miracle right now. Close your eyes for a moment. Have you ever been in someone's house? You think this is a spiritual moment. It's less so. Imagine you're walking into someone's house. You smell chocolate cake. Chocolate cake. And then you come around the corner and you see on the bench this big, spongy, soft chocolate cake. Can you see it? Can you smell it? Can you imagine it? And then you say, oh, okay, I want some chocolate cake. They're like, do you want chocolate cake? And you're like, do I? I love chocolate cake. And they get that knife and they cut you a big piece of chocolate cake and they serve that to you and you're ready for it. and you pick it up and you put it in your mouth, and they tell you it's flourless, sugarless chocolate cake. Have you ever been to someone's house? They made you a flourless chocolate cake. If you made one for us, we loved it. You're the exception. Thank you so much. But you ever gone for real chocolate cake? And it has the form of chocolate cake, but it lacks the taste thereby. The Bible talks about the church and Christians that have the form of godliness, but lack the power thereby. Can I tell you, I believe that we are meant to live a supernatural, breakthrough, miracle scene, healing life, that when people come and taste of us, they don't say it's ordinary, they don't say it's bland, they shouldn't say I expected more. But too many people are not coming back for another slice, because other than knowing Jesus and us being a good person too, because I gotta tell you, being a good person is not enough today. Because what is good in our world? Every person's variation of good is different from one to the next. The thing that distinguishes us is the love of God that connects us, and the supernatural that separates us, that says there's something on your life I've got to have. Keys can come. I mean, there's times where the cake doesn't rise. Does that mean you stop cooking? There's times where it's not looking in the way, and as you're cooking in the process, you're like, how is this going to end up with the right result? Does that mean you quit? No, you keep on believing and you keep on cooking. And the same with the miraculous of God. You've got to keep on watering it, and you've got to keep on praying, and you've got to keep getting into the Word and believing, because something is about to rise. You can't forget. That's why Hebrews, don't give up. It says, don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. If you're believing for a miracle and you haven't seen it, if you didn't get your breakthrough, don't throw away your confidence, because your confidence is not in your circumstances. Your confidence is in the Word and the person who represents Jesus. It says, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. It's why Psalm 27 says, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness in the land of the living. Do I believe some that step into eternity, they're walking into wholeness and healing? Absolutely. But I think it sometimes becomes an excuse for people. Oh, it'll happen when I'm in heaven, when I'm up with the Lord, brother. No. If that's what God wills, that's what He wills. But right now, while there's life in my lungs, life in my body and breath in my lungs, and while my spirit is still here and my heart is beating, I'm believing right here in the land of the living, I am going to get a breakthrough. Wait for it though. Goes on, wait for it. Be strong and take heart. Wait for it. So if the word is a seed and there is no, if there's no seed, how can there be a tree? And if there is no tree, how can there be fruit? But if we have the Word of God, and with prayer we push it down deep, and we keep on watering and we keep on waiting, we can hold on that God can do the impossible. Amen? Amen. Which leads us to the last question. I'll finish with this. Well, if He hasn't changed and He is able, is He willing? Because if He's able, is He willing? And I can't tell you all there is to know about God, but I can tell you what the Word says. So there's a leper that comes to Jesus in Luke 5. And he fell to his face to the ground and begged and said, Lord, say it with me, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man says what most of us have thought at some point. I know he can, but will he? I know he can, but is he willing? I know he can, but does he want to? And maybe we don't say it out loud, but this leper was bold enough to ask the question that was in his heart. So he says, can you heal me? Are you willing? And I believe Jesus comes and corrects his theology and says, I'm not, I was. And I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I did for them, I can do for you. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, say it with me now, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Can I say it's very hard to be suspicious of God and filled with faith at the same time? And I don't have to know how he would do it. And I don't need to know when he will do it, because then I'm controlling God and I'm trying to be God. But in the same way, I don't have to question if he will. Because I know and I have confidence that however he decides to do it, he is God, he is good, and he is my healer. And I can hold on to the promises of God and remain strong for what he has said to me. Because when he says, I am willing, it wasn't like, oh, I might. When you look into the Greek, that I am willing actually means I am inclined to. This is what I want to. It means I gladly do it. It means I delight in doing it. It means, this is what it means. When you look at it, when Jesus said, I'm willing, he's saying, I'd love to. See, you don't ask someone for something unless you really know they're willing. Not something of great cost to yourself. When I asked Shan to marry me, I went and bought a very expensive ring and put a very elaborate plan together. Not on the chance. That wasn't fitty-fitty. You know, I wasn't there just to see, let's see what God does. I was like, she's going to say yes. I knew she'd say, I'd delight to. I'd love to. I incline to. Yes. If I didn't, would it be okay? Would it be all right? Let's just give it a go. But I think that's what we do with God. If it's okay, and if you're willing, and if you would, and if you've got time, and if there's anything left, and if it's all right. And I know I haven't been good, and I know I haven't done it right, but God, would you heal me? No, you don't get it. I'm willing. I delight to. I want to. I'm inclined to. Yes. He hasn't changed. Unfortunately, faith leads us with gaps, but maybe that's what faith is. But it causes me not to look at what's happening in me and instead look to who he is. You know, the greatest miracle here is, it wasn't about the leper's goodness, righteousness, social status. He's a leper, untouchable, unrelatable, pushed to the side, the least of the least. Do you know what the greatest miracle was? It wasn't his healing. It was that it says Jesus touched him. It doesn't. You think you don't earn, you think you've got to earn the love of God? You have to earn the love of God. You think you've got to be a good enough person? No. For those who believe, he touches and healing follows. Those that follow me, these signs will follow that you'll heal the sick, prophetic words, supernatural miracles. For those he'll touch.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.